Turn tonight, if you would please, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Appreciate so very much the good music that we have here in this church. So many good talented people, but more than talent, it's loving the Lord. It counts, and we thank God for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me begin reading this evening at verse number 1. Verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive to masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul simply told Timothy, he said, consider what I say. Or I suppose we could paraphrase it, Timothy, just listen to me. Timothy, just listen to me. We want to spend our time tonight looking at verse number 7. Paul said to Timothy, just listen to me. Consider what I say. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening, it's a privilege and a joy to be able to stand here and again open the precious Word of God. We realize tonight that we represent a mission and a cause and a person far greater than ourselves. We thank you this evening for the ministry of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the gospel preaching that we know is a ministry that has your favor and, Father, has your blessing. This evening we thank you for the heartwarming music. We thank you tonight for the good day, the good storm you've given us. And now, as we open the Word of God together, help us, Lord, to not only understand and discern, but, Father, to make the proper application. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Timothy was told by Paul to pay attention to what he had to say. Because Paul obviously had something important to tell his young protege, young Timothy, his disciple in the Lord. He was attempting to communicate with Timothy, and he wanted Timothy to pay close attention because what he was telling him was critically important. You know, communication is important. I have a brother-in-law whose name is Junior Fowdy, and he's from West Virginia just like I am. And sometimes there's been a tendency on the part of some of us West Virginians to get our communications messed up a little bit. Well, in this particular time, a communication breakdown really became costly. My brother-in-law had lived on a very busy road, and beside him was his grandchildren. And my brother-in-law had a little dog that run around loose in that part of Virginia. You know, most people let their animals run loose. It was country anyway. So that little dog got out in the road. And my brother-in-law, he saw his grandson out there, and he wanted to get that dog out of harm's way. And he told his grandson, he said, there's a car coming. He said, shoo it, shoo it. And his grandson got a gun and shot it. He thought, he said, shoot it. That's a true story. It's church. Yeah, he shot his granddad's dog. Boy, an animal rights person had been there, he'd been in real trouble. Communication is a problem. Now, you heard about, I'm still on the subject of communication. I'm trying to communicate with you all right now, try to illustrate my point. You heard about the Hispanic firefighter had two sons. He called one Hosea, the other Hose B. You get it? Jose, Hose B. Wasn't funny, was it? Well, if that didn't work, let me throw another one at you. This family had twins, and gave the twins up for adoption because they just couldn't handle those kids. They gave them up to adoption. One child winds up in a Spanish family, and the other child winds up in an Egyptian family. So the child in the Hispanic family, they named him Juan. And the child in the Egyptian family, they named him Amal. So after a period of time went by, Juan wanted to locate his biological mother. He did some research, finally found out where she lived, and sent her a picture of himself, and then told her in the letter that her other son's name was Amal, and he was in an Egyptian family. The mother looked at that picture. She said, "Oh, what a wonderful picture of my son." She said, I would love to see Amal. I think I'm pronouncing Amal. Her husband looked at him and said, "Dear," he said, "don't really worry." He said, "If you've seen one, you've seen them all." Was that any better? Paul here said, he said, "Consider what I say. Consider what I say." I believe as a preacher, when we preach, most preachers feel like that's the need of the congregation at that point of time. Consider what is being said. It's not so much considering what I say, but it's considering the content of what a preacher has to say. Too many people are attempting to do everything their own way, not God's way. Too many people have closed their ears to the truth, are not willing to be counseled, to be directed, to be corrected. And by the way, church services are a good time to stand to be corrected. Amen. We come needing to be corrected. Now, old Frank Sinatra sang a song one time, "I Did It My Way." And many people, that's their philosophy in life, "I did it my way." The lyrics of that song, "I planned each chartered course, each careful step along the way, and more, much more than this, I did it my way." That's the generation in which we're living, and unfortunately, it's rubbed off on many of our churches. Many people are big on doing it their own way, but they're little in doing it God's way. This is true in churches. You know, we see that certainly in every facet of life. We see that in political circles. We see that on the part of those that are attempting to lead us in the helm of government. Politicians, I'm talking about. It was Will Rogers who one time said, he said, "A man gets up to speak and he says nothing, but nobody listens and then everybody disagrees." Now, isn't that true? A lot of people are like Carol and Bernie used to tell me about someone that lived in Pennsylvania. And this guy was just basically, he was always on the opposing end of things. Somebody would say something and he would disagree with it, whether he even knew what was being said or not. So they were in church one time, him and his wife, I guess I'm telling this right, and the question came up about, I think the preacher was talking or something, was preaching, and what was it, his wife said, what did he say? And he said, "I don't care what he said, I still disagree." Something to that effect. Was that right? Halfway right? Y'all don't remember either, do you? But anyway, that's what we're talking about tonight. I believe it's always critically important to consider what is being said, especially when the source is right, especially when the context is right. Paul said, "Consider what I say. Listen to me, Timothy." Because Paul had something to offer. He had something to tell this young man. He had some good advice to give him. And he could say to Timothy, "Consider what I say because of your circumstances. You need what I'm about to say. You're a soldier. You need to be well armed." In other words, if you read those verses there, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world." And so Paul is telling young Timothy, "Consider what I say. As a soldier, you need to be properly armed. You need to be properly uniformed. As a son," Timothy, of course, was his son in the faith. "As a son, you need to grow. As an athlete, you need to be consistent, to be cultivating, to be working. You know, consistency is a big thing. Consistency is lacking, isn't it? Don't you admire people who are consistent? People who hang in there. People who just simply have raw bone determination to keep on serving God regardless of everybody else. I heard of a story of a dear old lady, 100 years of age. She won a race. She won a race. But here's what happened. All of her fellow runners dropped out in 1948. But she won a race. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the rain. Y'all just aren't with me tonight. Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, based upon your circumstances, you're a son, you're a soldier, you're a steward. Consider what I say. I say to this congregation tonight, based on your circumstances, you're a child of God. You're a soldier. You're a steward. You're a son of God. Consider then what I say. You see, we need to receive information, instruction on how to best function within the roles that God has placed us in. It's just like when a person accepts a job, they have to go through a period of training. It's a part of it, learning what is required, learning responsibility. And that's why church services are important in that area. We, of course, are being trained, are being developed in the roles that God has placed us in. Consider what I say. Timothy, based upon who you are and where you are, you desperately need my advice. Imagine what it would be if all of us had that attitude towards the Bible. I desperately need Bible advice. I desperately need it. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Where is the fervor that's lacking today? There needs to be more fervor towards the truth. We need to be burdened about the Word of God. It needs to, in other words, it needs to be controlling our lives. We need to be burdened about knowing it more, about following its instruction. Consider what I say. Too many times, we have the attitude, the message is not for me. It's for my neighbor. It's for the person beside me, behind me, in front of me, or whatever the case might be. No, consider what I say. So, because of the circumstances, we need to consider what is being said. Paul tells Timothy that. May I say tonight as a pastor, our church needs to consider what the Bible says for many good reasons. Number one, people sit lost. People come to churches without God and without hope. People in this community are lost without God. Neighbors and friends need the gospel. Therefore, we need to consider what is being said when it has a word of challenge. We need to be burdened. We need to be concerned. How consistently do we pray for souls, for example? When we come to church, are we coming with a prayer on our heart and a prayer on our lips? Oh, God, save a soul today while we're in church. Consider what I say. People sit lost. Consider what I say. Many are defeated. Consider what I say. Homes are suffering. Consider what I say. Attitudes need adjustment. Consider what I say. There's a lot of careless living going on today when it comes to the matter of homes and churches. I believe the answer tonight is still the Bible. I believe the Scriptures still hold the answer to what we need. I believe the Bible, basically, I believe it's the best counsel book. I believe it's the best encouragement book. I believe the Bible still gives us what we need to get through life. It's still relevant. It is as relevant as it was the day that the pen of inspiration touched the page. The Bible is that relevant. Consider what I say. You know, I think of an Old Testament example. There was a man by the name of Elijah who got into trouble because of what he said. And the truth sometimes hurts, doesn't it? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you sometimes have sit in a church service and the preacher's got up and got to preaching and you're thinking, my goodness, that guy knew what was going on in my home. He knows what's going on in my life. He seems to have a handle on it because he preached something that touched my heart. Let me be quick to say tonight, if there's anything that comes out of these lips towards this congregation, if God's not in it, forget about it. But if it's the Bible, then you can take you can sit up and take note. It's pretty important. And it's the Holy Spirit that does it, isn't it? We come to church, the Holy Spirit is the one that takes the Bible, that probes the heart, that brings to memory our shortcomings and shows us our needs. It's the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, preachers can't preach up revival. The Spirit of God has to bring down revival. You see, it's the Lord that has to do the working. But Elijah got into trouble. He was, in the opinion of Ahab, he was the one that troubled Israel. Ahab said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" He troubled Israel. You know, preachers cause trouble. His preaching troubled Israel because Elijah was right to the point. Straight preaching caused sinners to get under conviction, to begin to twist and to get disturbed and upset. Now churches need, I believe, a restoration of just good old-fashioned respect and love for the plain old Word of God. Amen. We don't need anything new today. We've got that which still works. I thank God today for the ministries of our church, the various things that are happening, the good things are happening, and there's not a church anywhere in this area that has any better music for sure. But I'll tell you, I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe tonight if revival ever breaks out, it's not going to come through singing, it's going to come through preaching. I still believe there's no substitute tonight for the preaching of the Word of God. Consider what I say. Consider what I say because of our needs. Consider what I say because of the content of what I am saying. What I'm saying is not worth considering based upon if it's my opinion, but if it's the Bible, then you can believe it's worth listening to. Consider what I say. That's what Paul told Timothy. Not only because of the circumstances, he said, Timothy, basically, you need to hear me. You need my biblical counsel. You need my biblical advice. Your circumstances, Timothy, puts you in a situation where you really do need to pay attention to what I'm saying. Paul told this young man, I've been there and done it. I've lived several years of my life. I know what it's all about to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. I know what suffering is. I know what it is to live for the Lord. And Timothy, if I could I give you some advice? Consider what I say. Because of the circumstances. Number two, let me hurry. Consider what I say because of the context. The context. The context is distinct. It's distinct. He tells Timothy, consider what I say not because of what I am saying, but because of not because of what I am saying, but because of what I am saying. Emphasis on the word saying. It's timely. Don't you love Proverbs 25:11? You know what it says? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That's pretty important. Now, so the Bible, its context is worth listening to. Consider what I say because the context, number one, it's timely. Number two, it's true. It's true. James 1:18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, the word of truth. God is no liar. This word is true. 100% true. No single thing within the Bible is incorrect. It's true. Now, here's something that's amazing. None of us this evening believe would want to follow the devil's advice, would we? You know, we wouldn't want to listen to the devil, would we? You know what the devil said? The content of what the devil said was not inspired. But the record of it is, because it's in the Bible, the record of it is. You see what we're saying tonight? Well, now let's go back to what God says, though. It's all true. It's all true. And so therefore it's worth hearing, it's worth listening to, it's worth obeying. It'd be different if it was wrong, but it's true. And the truth is what we need. It's trustworthy. It's trustworthy. You can believe it. It's never failed. The Bible has never failed. God keeps His promises. It has never failed to deliver a promise. Now, don't you love a book, the Bible, that is always trustworthy? Take any person here this evening. You talk long enough, and I'm the same. We're going to say something that you can't totally trust. We forget. We get our facts wrong. We get confused. We give out wrong information. But that'll never be found true in the Bible, though, will it, Brother Glenn? Facts are always right. We can believe it. Here's the thing that amazes me. Isn't it amazing how we're so quick to hang on every word and many times to believe what someone tells us, but yet it just seems like we shrug our shoulders when it comes to the Bible, what we hear preached, what we hear taught. We sometimes treat the Bible like it's secondary to importance when it comes to other things. But consider what I say, because we need it, it's true, and it's transforming. That's why. Every person that I'm looking at tonight, probably if we had a testimony meeting, here's what you'd say: God saved me. I heard the word preached. I responded. And the Lord saved me. And you see, that's why tonight, that's one reason why I want to consider what the Bible says, because I'm looking in the face of miracles this evening. The Bible's transforming. Turn people around. Changes people's lives, takes a nobody, makes them a somebody, turns around a miserable mess and puts purpose within their life and gives us a reason for living. Why, testimonies redound with people talking about the fact how they came to wit's end and literally considered taking their own life. They had given up. No more hope. I don't see any way out of this mess. And then God worked, maybe sent a personal worker by, shared with them the gospel, they got saved, maybe picked up a gospel tract, or perhaps had read a gospel tract, and the Holy Spirit used that to flash the content of that tract into the mind and heart, and they get saved. They come to a church service. I've known of people who had literally come to the end of their own resources and said, I'm out of here. I can't handle it any longer. But God came into their life in salvation and turned them around. Yes, that's why these words are good words. Consider what I say, Timothy, because it will help you. It'll equip you. It'll encourage you. It'll direct you. Never discount the merits of Scripture. Never discount its value. Always keep it a number one priority when it comes to instruction. My friend, this book tonight is what we need desperately. We still need it desperately. It hasn't changed. We need the Bible. We need instruction. We need the Word of God just as much tonight as we were when we first met the Master. We stand as needy people. And I'll tell you, the advice that people gives and the counsel of our times and the counselors and the psychologists and the people that are making big bucks telling people and giving people advice that still doesn't help them at the end of the day. I'm glad tonight that every Christian has something of substance to offer people. Consider what I say. Never let that thought leave your minds, your hearts. Always come with that attitude when you come into that church door. Always have that attitude when you open your Bibles. Always have that attitude and God will bless and take you forward in your Christian life. Again, because of the consequences, well, because of the substance of what is being said, because of the circumstance in our life, we need it. And then there are, by the way, there are dire consequences for people that do not take serious what God says. There are consequences. Be a wonderful thing tonight, but I don't know if it would be wonderful or not, but to always hear sermons about heaven, sometimes it sounds pretty pleasant to think about it, doesn't it? Preacher preaches on heaven all the time. Everything's nice and lovely. But that's not a balanced presentation of Scripture. There are consequences for disobedience. Consequences for the sinner, yes. Standing before God one day. But consequences for the Christian who's rebellious against the truth. There will be, according to 1 Corinthians 3, an appearance of the church before the judgment seat of Christ. And then, my friend, it will mean everything to us. But if it takes that moment to make us realize importance, it's a sad thing that we haven't considered seriously what God said. But I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I understand that. I know that you folks already have it. And I know that you're applying it. And I praise God for that. But preaching many times is like taking vitamins, isn't it? It's not like we're taking an aspirin to get rid of a pain. We're taking a vitamin sort of as preventive medicine. We still need to hear it. Amen. Stay in tune. Like they used to say in CB days. Do you have your ears on? Keep your ears on when it comes to the Bible. And always consider what the preacher is saying, if he's God's man. And consider what this book is saying when you're reading it. And God will bless you. Let's bow for prayer.